If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk about what took place on Raw last night leading up to NXT on Wednesday. It's Survivor Series week, everybody, and Triple H said on Raw last night, open door policy for Raw and SmackDown to visit NXT. What are we going to get Wednesday night? Can't wait for NXT. Also, we sit down with President Billy Corgan of the NWA. It's the National Wrestling Alliance. The show that everyone is talking about is NWA Power, and we get into it with Billy Corgan right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Interesting take from Triple H. Because, like I said, Triple H, if you're going to find an MVP from last night, to me, it is Triple H. The intrigue he caused with Kevin Owens, because now you're wondering, all right, where's Kevin Owens going to lean? Is he going to lean towards Raw, or is he going to lean towards NXT where he got
his
start?
Can I stop you for a second? Sure. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you just brought up a point. In 2019, should Triple H be the MVP of any of your shows?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. And then you go to the end of the show where Triple H is saying, hey, you know what? Not a lot of people have been tuning into NXT on Wednesdays, but I'm going to give you a reason. Because before we get to Survivor Series on Sunday, open door. Anybody from Raw, anybody from SmackDown can come to Full Sail. Go ahead. NXT is the A brand. It's the A show. So come on in. Let's see what you got. Interesting way to end Monday Night Raw, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens on Wednesday and who, if any, of the wrestlers from Raw or SmackDown are going to show up.
So the floodgates are now open on Wednesday night. Everybody has been invited. Bring your best. NXT is ready to fight. As of right now, who would you be excited to see from Raw or SmackDown show up to NXT?
I'll throw out two names, and these are probably the only two names that I find exciting or intriguing. Becky Lynch and Kevin Owens.
As of right now, do you know if Becky Lynch or Kevin Owens will be there?
No, I don't.
Is it worth tuning in? Is it worth watching NXT as opposed to AEW for the hope of a maybe they will be there?
It's at least a reason to tune in to NXT right now. Now, everything that, don't forget, Bully, they have a takeover to promote too. Pretty big takeover with War Games. So this is their go-home show for War Games, and then you also have this intrigue of Survivor Series, almost like a cloud looming over NXT. So if there was ever going to be a time I would tune into NXT over AEW, Wednesday would be the night that I would do it.
That's fair enough. If I'm a fan, I need to have a little bit of a guarantee. If the WWE knew that Kevin Owens or Becky Lynch or anybody else that high up the card was going to be on Wednesday night, I would have them going on their social media either tonight or tomorrow morning and cutting a 10-minute, I'm sorry, I sound like Lana now. Don't know my mileage or my distances or my days or my minutes.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
I'd have them cut a 10-second promo saying, see you on Wednesday night. See you on Wednesday night. And let that get out there on social media. Now I know, oh my God, Kevin is definitely going to be there. Oh my God, I know Becky is going to be there. What if Bray were to go, hi, see you on Wednesday. Oh my God, The Fiend is going to be there. Anything, if you know somebody's going to be there, you have to promote it. And the biggest reason is this. They opened up the floodgates on Wednesday night because they are in a rating situation. yes, they're in a storyline situation first on the surface, mm-hmm. but in reality, they are in a rating situation. They need to do whatever they can to pop that rating. Thus, anybody from Raw and anybody in SmackDown can show up. Well, I want to know who. Because with this whole NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown angle so far, we've been getting guys that are kind of in the middle of the card or lower in the card. So I don't feel like I'm getting a full-blown invasion angle here. I don't feel like it's all hands on deck. I don't feel like this is every single member of every single brand out there killing each other. I don't see top guys killing top guys.
No, you haven't seen that at all. And here's the other thing, too. And let's be honest. Couple of things. Like, obviously, NXT hasn't gotten the big rating that they've hoped for. We love it. We think it's the best show that the WWE presents on a weekly basis. There's no doubt. But they haven't gotten that really big pop in the rating. And in the seven-week war with AEW, they've lost every week. Now, knowing that, you would think that they would do a better job of explaining who everybody is. Like, they love saying Matt Riddle. They love saying Keith Lee. They throw out the names, but they really haven't told you who they are. So if you're the percentage of, and it seems like a large percentage, that are watching Raw on a Monday night and not watching NXT, you would think they would do a better job of explaining who they are. Maybe some video packages of just who they are. The only one that they've really done that for, and they did a great job, was with Shayna Baszler, because they had that face-to-face with Becky Lynch, and I think that went a long way. But everybody else are just names. Even like the Undisputed Era. Give me some video package of what and who the Undisputed Era is, so that the mainstream fan that just watches Monday Night Raw may tune into NXT on Wednesdays.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but while Triple H was talking to Owens last night and we saw the Forgotten Sons, we saw Priest, and we saw Dominic Dijakovic.
Yep.
Hunter referred to them as these guys. I don't think he name ID'd them.
No,
I could be wrong, but I
not.
Don't think he name ID'd them. Like when he said, do you think these guys would have traveled all the way to Boston? I would have much preferred to hear him say, do you think the Forgotten Sons would have come all the way to Boston? Do you think Damian Priest would have come all the way to Boston? Do you think Dominic Dijakovic would have come all? Now I have Triple H saying the names of the NXT guys. Right in that moment, he gives them the rub, as opposed to these guys. When you refer to them as these guys, they're no big deal. They're no big deal to me. You're not telling me that they are important enough to call them by name.
You're just selling the brand, and selling the brand isn't good enough. You have to, again, emotional investment. You got to sell us on some emotional investment. They did that with Shayna Baszler, but they haven't done that with the other NXT roster. And here's the biggest thing of all. And this is why when you get into even the end of the show, when there's been all these beatdowns and interference and the ridiculous SmackDown invasion at the end of that show, when they're actually playing the SmackDown theme and they all have the blue T-shirts on with the fox on the back.
I might go on a rant today about that.
Yes, and you got to hold off on that, because I can understand. I can see the smoke coming out of your ears. Let's be honest here, okay? With NXT, it makes a lot of sense. NXT is the underdog. NXT is new to the mainstream. NXT is the brand that not a lot of people know about. NXT, you have to fight for every bit of publicity and any moment to have where people are talking. It's a fight. You could see the loyalty with the brand when it comes to NXT. For God's sakes, the draft was in October. We're in freaking November. The draft was in October. How much does Kevin Owens love Raw? How much does Lucha House Party love Raw? I mean, like...
SmackDown.
Thank you. Like, seriously, the draft was a month ago, bully. It's not like these wrestlers have been on this brand and on this show for years. They've been on the show for a month. How much brand loyalty could you possibly have? And then again, they're beating up guys in the back of people. Like, you know, we mentioned Eric Young. Eric Young's one of the guys. Half the people watching don't even know who the hell Eric Young is. You haven't seen him. Why are you going to care? I mean, am I wrong here?
Well, no, you're not wrong. We talked about people like Eric. We had a caller the other day, or yesterday, who talked about Eric Young and EC3, and I'm sorry, I love those guys, but nobody cares about them because nobody knows who they are. So if you see these guys getting beat up in the back, you're like, ah, big deal, because you're not emotionally tied to them. The Lucha, you brought up Lucha House Party, and this is one of the things that really pissed me off last night, because I was really enjoying Seth versus Andrade. I thought Seth versus Andrade was a great match, and I was about to go on social media and start to put over the match, and I should have. I shouldn't have let my anger get the best of me last night, because Seth and Andrade were doing a phenomenal job. But Lucha House Party, that run-in really, really pissed me off.
The day I hate more than any other day is Black Friday. That day after Thanksgiving, when everybody starts their Christmas shopping, their holiday shopping, is the worst day for me. Waiting online, having to fight through crowds, getting stuck in traffic, it's the worst. Well, there's no need to get crazy this year. I'm letting you know ahead of time about amazing Black Friday Cyber Monday deal on something you're actually going to use every single day. A pair of wireless earbuds or headphones from Raycon. You guys know about Raycon. Awesome company founded by Ray J. He was sick of premium audio being so expensive, so he and a bunch of audio engineers and music industry folks developed Raycon's line of awesome wireless headphones and earbuds. They sound just as good as other premium brands, but start at about half the price. You don't have any dangling stems or any wires to get in your way. It's true wireless audio with seamless Bluetooth pairing. I know for myself, I'm walking from Penn Station, New York to the studios here. I need earbuds that are going to block out the noise, and I don't need the wires dangling that somebody could pull on or I can trip on. The best deal in premium audio just got even better for Black Friday. And trust me, you do not want to sleep on this one. Go to buyraycon.com/bustedopen to check out Raycon's Black Friday and Cyber Monday savings. I can't even tell you how good these deals will be. You'll have to check them out on the site. That's buyraycon.com/bustedopen to get an amazing Black Friday deal on Raycons. buyraycon.com/bustedopen. Before he, you know, puts his headphones down and walks out of the studio, let's welcome in the president of the NWA, because you mentioned NWA Power, which you can watch on Facebook and YouTube at 6:05 every single Tuesday or anytime that you want to. Let's bring in the president himself, Billy Corgan. Billy, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you. Great to be here again.
It's great having you on because, man, every time we have you on, it seems like there's more things to talk about. And you've been very busy since the last time we've had you on.
Yes, sir.
So, breaking news. Some news came out today. How about you?
Yeah, I convinced Motley Crue to get back together and hit the road.
I knew it.
That's on me.
Thank you, Billy.
I said, guys, I got 150 million reasons why you want to put this thing back together.
I blame Netflix for that.
Did you, did you send Vince for vocal lessons?
No, come on. Isn't there enough heat? Isn't there enough heat today? Don't we have enough heat flying around on the internet?
It didn't even last 5 years. Could you have at least given it 5 years, please? But let's put that aside for just a second, because NWA Power, and it's unbelievable. You kind of walked into a bit of a tornado, because we've been talking about some of the social media things that have been going on with AEW and the WWE, and a lot of negativity. When it comes to NWA Power, it's been nothing but positivity. It's pretty cool the way these six episodes and how the fans have really kind of just fell in love with NWA again.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time to put it together. And of course, you know, you guys have been so supportive in our journey, and we're so excited. Tonight's episode is episode 7, and we're really excited about it. We think it's like now the storylines are starting to come together and people are starting to see what makes us just a little bit different in the marketplace. And so, yeah. Yeah, happy to talk about that. And we just announced a new show today, if you want to talk about that.
Please. I know it's not Motley Crue. Tell us the breaking news in the world of the NWA.
Yeah, we've announced a new show called The Circle Squared. And what we're going to do is allow talents to come in, put them in front of the live audience, cut a promo, get in the ring, and sort of demonstrate to the fans and the entire world that they belong in the NWA. It'll be a separate show. It'll be shorter. It'll be kind of more bite-sized internet-type content. But I think it'll be interesting because, you know, we get a lot of messages from independent talent saying, hey, give me a shot, give me a shot. Okay, well, in the ecosystem of a company, it's hard because you're supposed to push somebody aside who's already in your world to give somebody a shot that maybe you don't know. Okay, in this situation, anybody can walk through the door and they can prove it and nothing's going to stop them.
Is this kind of a byproduct, Billy, of a tweet that Lagana had sent out a couple of weeks ago referring to how many calls or videos or resumes you guys get from everybody out there trying to get a job with the NWA?
Yeah, but I think it's also we want to create an opportunity where, you know, in this, look, Justin Bieber is one of the biggest pop stars in the world. He was found on YouTube. I talk to people who work in record companies all the time. They literally sit around and just scan YouTube for new talent. You know, the lead singer of Journey is a guy that they found, you know, singing in a bar in the Philippines. We live in a different world now. And if you can get yourself over, I mean, we're more than happy to work with you. Obviously, you know, some of the best talent in the world is not only in the NWA, but is under contract with other companies. So we have to, as part of our business, we have to go out and find new talent. We're excited to do that. Some of my favorite talent that I was able to discover was through ECW, because Paul Heyman had a great eye for talent, you know. And I think that's the kind of way I think about it is like, can we find those people that maybe would be overlooked or wouldn't fit in another system? And in the NWA, they'll have every opportunity to go to the top.
We had Dave Lagana in studio yesterday, and one of the things I brought up with him is that I think a lot of people were attracted to the NWA and NWA Power because of the nostalgia, the way that the set looks, being studio wrestling, something that I fell in love with. How I fell in love with pro wrestling was watching Georgia Championship Wrestling. But now that we're 6 weeks in, and like you said, episode 7 that's going to drop at 6:05 tonight, I think people have gotten past that now. I think with the storylines that you've had in that hour, I think people are, yes, in love with the nostalgia part, but now they are actually in love and emotionally invested in with the roster of the NWA.
Yeah, I think people that sell us short by saying, oh, it's just kind of a thing, like a throwback, they're really missing the point. You look at anything in the world right now, whether it's Star Wars or like you have Tarantino doing the new Star Trek. You know, the pivot between past, present, and future is very much the way people market these days. And people really do want to celebrate the history of wrestling. One of my complaints as a fan of certain companies has been that they oftentimes don't embrace their history in a way that makes me feel comfortable as a fan. I'm there because of, you know, great legends. And sometimes when those legends aren't part of that ecosystem, I understand storylines and I understand it's always about youthful talent. But at the same point, there's got to be a balancing thing in there that makes me feel that the thing that brought me to the dance is the reason I'm still part of the dance. Yeah.
Hey, Billy, do you ever feel slighted by people when it comes to the pro wrestling thing? Do you ever look at it as, hey, I started a rock and roll band. I got my rock and roll band over. I got my vision over. I created one of the biggest selling rock and roll bands in the world. Why don't you give me a shot with this pro wrestling thing? If I could do it in rock and roll, what makes you think I can't do it with pro wrestling?
I found that as the years go by, there's less and less of that. In the beginning, it was treated as kind of a curiosity. And now I see that it's pretty much focused on the product, which is exactly where I want it to be. That's why I pretty much don't appear on television. Mm-hmm. I really want it to be about our talent. And one thing I learned pretty much, particularly in my time in TNA, is that the fans really are there to see the wrestlers, as they should be. You know, Dixie Carter was big on trying to bring in outside, you know, celebrity. You know, we all remember, you know, football players and people showing up to get this kind of cheap pop with the media. And at the end of the day, it works just for that nanosecond, but it really doesn't get over with true wrestling fans. And that's something I really had to learn, that my celebrity didn't necessarily translate into the wrestling world. And I'm glad I learned that lesson, because I have no illusion about what I can do for the NWA. If the NWA is going to get over, it's going to rely on Nick and Eli Drake and Camille and, you know, James Storm and Tim Storm. You know, we have a lot of great talent, and that's where we want to keep the focus, and we're happy to do that.
And maybe because I'm coming from a different place and being a host of the show, but when I hear the name Billy Corgan now, I think of president of the NWA. I don't think of your music career.
Thank you. That's a great, honestly, sorry to interrupt you, but that's a great compliment, because I've had to work really hard to get there. As you know, the ecosystem of wrestling, the true ecosystem of wrestling, is a very tight-knit group of people. And you know, all the boys talk. You know, just because they work for different companies doesn't mean they're not texting. And and that's even where this whole thing with Khan and Randy Orton kind of spilling out in the open. Most of that stuff happens behind the scenes. So it is interesting when the fans do get an insight into what really goes on behind the scenes. But in this case, it's obviously very public and high profile.
Are you surprised by all the positivity? Because and not that there shouldn't be positivity, because it's a great product, but the fact that you see it in every organization, and like you said, with social media, it just kind of breeds negativity. But there really hasn't been that, I don't think, with the NWA. At least I haven't seen it. From the phone calls that we've taken here on Busted Open, it seems to be all positive. Actually, and Bully, you would, I'm sure you would agree, more people want us to talk more about the NWA than That's what we're doing. Have you noticed that too?
Yes. And, we talk a lot, David Logan and I talk a lot about lapsed fans. If you looked at some of the numbers in the early kind of battle between NXT and AEW, you know, the assumption was that that audience was going to be kind of a hard number. It was going to rotate back and forth between the two products. But what we've seen in the early going is that people who are necessarily watching AEW or not watching it are not necessarily going back over to NXT, and then vice versa. So there is a large swath of fans that are they're looking for something. And whether they're finding it somewhere else, that's up to them. But the point is it's not like it used to be. It's like, well, if I'm not going to watch WCW, I'm going to watch WWE. Yeah. I think we're in a different world now. And so what we're finding is, I mean, the most common story we hear is, I grew up watching wrestling with my dad in year blank, blank, blank. This is the wrestling that I remember. This is why I watched wrestling. You guys are bringing me back to what I loved about wrestling, and you're reminding me of why I don't watch wrestling anymore. It's not necessarily negative. It's like positive, like, oh, this is the kind of thing that I understand. I call it core value. You know what I mean? John Gaburik and TNA used to argue there's a reason they shoot football games a certain way. It's like it just kind of works, you know, because I would always argue for innovation in terms of how you would shoot the product. But there's something to be said for this. Let's call it the traditional value of wrestling.
Comfort zone.
Well, you know, let's be inside baseball for a second. The art of selling, which is, you know, many people, of course, consider it a lost art in professional wrestling. I'm sorry. I believe in selling. To me, it's like I'd be watching a movie and, you know, somebody hits somebody over the head with a tire iron and the guy doesn't sell. Why am I paying my $15 and sitting in a theater? It's like selling is part of taking people into the beauty of the narrative. And if let's call it the violence is not part of the narrative, well, why am I watching the narrative? Am I watching a stunt show, or am I watching something that's going to take me on an emotional journey? You know, one of the best angles in the last year of Ring of Honor was
Bully,
you had
Flip Gordon?
Yeah, sorry, I love Flip. Bully and Flip, that was a great story. I love that story. I thought the beats in that story, I thought the way Bully played, I thought the way Flip played it was perfect. That's the kind of wrestling I want to see. And then Flip's ability then comes into part of the narrative, and Bully's size becomes part of the narrative. It's not just big guy, small guy. You know what I mean? We've all seen that match. That's the beauty. So that's where we stand. And so we're proud to stand behind that, because that to me is the way we honor, you know, the Hackenschmidts and the Fezzes, is by saying that what you did and what you brought to the table and what you created is this monstrous business. There's a reason you did it that way. It wasn't an accident.
Billy, first of all, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. Are there any problems?
I usually text him my compliments. It's hard to go public.
Are there any? Like, if you're on stage and your guitar is out of tune, you fix it immediately. Is there anything going on with the NWA now that you feel that needs to be fixed immediately?
Great question. I think, you know, what you're seeing is, you know, we shot over 2 days. So that was we were like jumping in the deep end of the pool. We're working with new staff at GPB in Atlanta. So I think there's many things that we look at, like in terms of pace and how we sort of make the thing move better. So yeah, there's definitely some magic wand things. Like I wish, now that I know this, I wish we could have just fixed this. More tweaky. But overall, we've been very pleased with the format. I think the idea of just people can walk and talk and fight, it's working. The audience is fantastic. I mean, if you see this episode, the audience is the star of the show.
You mentioned emotional investment. Tim Storm is somebody I think that anybody who's watched this show since episode one are emotionally invested in. And they may not even have known Tim Storm before this series started. I know if it wasn't for the series that Dave Lagana put together, I probably wouldn't have known him either. But I'm emotionally invested. And it's a great story. And I think that's the perfect example of why I love NWA Power, because you're not going to see a lot of flips and flying from somebody like Tim Storm. But, you know, that match, and again, the story going in between him and the championship title that he held, that he loved more than anything else, and he lost. And then he had one other opportunity to get it going up against Nick Aldis, and he lost that match. And I think everybody in that studio that was watching that match were heartbroken. And it's funny how you were able to do that in such a short period of time, because the show's not long. Mm. You know, on Mondays, we're watching 3 hours and they can't complete a story. You were able to tell a story in such a short amount of time that I think everybody now is in love with Tim Storm.
You could argue might be the best babyface in wrestling right now. You know, I mean, we don't have many pure babyfaces in wrestling anymore. Everyone's got to have an edge or you know, there's got to be some other wrinkle in it. The fact that he's just a good old-fashioned straight babyface. I mean, he's certainly somebody that those old guys would recognize. And we booked him like that, and he is perfect. I mean, he really is the perfect guy, and he is that guy. It's not an act, which is even crazier. I mean, when he talks about his mother, that's how he talks about his mother in the back.
And everybody's chanting for Tim Storm's mom during the show.
Well, and we're back writing notes. Get Mama Storm t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, get on this right now.
Billy, I think I know the answer to the question, but I'm going to throw this out there. There are some in the wrestling business who have gone on record to say that heels and baby faces is outdated, is extinct, it doesn't work anymore, it's not real. We have Arn Anderson come on the show last week and say that the business lacks traditional heels and baby faces, and that's the foundation of what the wrestling business is built on. You're always on the edge. You're always on the cusp of what's new and trendy. How do you feel about heels and baby faces in 2019 pro wrestling?
I love that question, because it's a question I wrestle with a lot. Excuse the pun. I think I look at it like, if you look at the way most modern, let's call it like the HBO, Netflix type shows are booked, you don't have pure baby faces anymore, because nobody believes that. So what I call it is kind of moral ambiguity. Can a good person do a bad thing? And can a bad person do a good thing? That's where I'm sort of interested. So yes, you can cast somebody in a traditional role. Okay, so let's talk about Tim Storm for a second, because we were just on him. Is there a situation where maybe Tim Storm would lose his way? Or is there a situation where he may do something that in the flash of a moment, in the flash of anger, he might regret? Everybody knows what that feels like, and I think that's something that we all can understand. So I think if you're trying to book more modern storylines in the 2019-2020 sense, I think you want to have those wrinkles in there, but at the end of the day, you have to believe in the core character of that person, or at the end of the day, you're wasting the audience's time, because what you're saying is that at any point in time, magical things can just happen. And that's where I have a problem, because if you're asking somebody to invest in a really long storyline, and then just magically a hand reaches from the sky, what they call in theater, deus ex machina, and God just changes the rules, suddenly somebody can fly. You know what I mean?
Deus ex machina. That sounds like the name of a Smashing Pumpkins song.
You're very close. There is an album called Machina, so yes.
I was going to say, I thought that sounded familiar. Yeah. And yeah, that's obviously something that we talk a lot about here on Busted Open, is about that gray area and faces and heels. And I think you just have to evolve with the times when it comes to, like what you just said, maybe not like it was in 1985, but how it would be in 2019. Something that I think has really impressed me with the NWA is some wrestlers that, you know, I think fans really liked, but never got, I mean, at least to us fans, never got a fair shake. And that would be somebody like Aaron Stevens. I watch Aaron Stevens on your show, and I'm like, how is this guy not one of the biggest superstars in pro wrestling? I mean, not only what he can do in the ring, but how good he is on the microphone. And in an instant, with just a phrase, could get everybody to boo him.
And Billy, before you answer, Dave, what you have to remember is Sandow got that stuff over back in the day. Remember how over he was?
He did, yes.
I mean, he was monster over. He got that gimmick over as much as Rusev got his gimmick over. So to see a guy I'm just going to refer to him as Sandow, be so over, then go so back to the bottom of the rung, it's refreshing now to see him in the NWA doing what he does, you know, really well. Yeah, Billy,
Thank you.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I love your insight. You know, I got to know him when he was in TNA for a brief period of time, and we stayed in touch. So we've kind of stayed friends outside of the business. And I think he's the classic guy who's super talented, never felt like he had the fair opportunity to climb his way all the way up the ladder. So the way we work with him as a talent was we just let him loose. I clear everything with him. I say, how do you feel about doing this? How do you feel about doing that? And then I just let him loose. So 97% of what's coming out of his mouth is all on him. And I'll give you a perfect example of the kind of talent that he is. I booked him in a storyline where he had to lose to Ricky Starks, you know, not only once, but I think he lost to him three times.
Yeah.
Because he lost.
Two out of three falls.
Yeah, he
match,
lost, and then he lost in two out of three. How many men of his stature would be willing to lose to a young talent to get that talent over? That's the kind of guy he is. He's a stand-up guy. He's a sweetheart and super talented. And I'm happy to work with him. I mean, to me, I love working with him because you just wind him up and just let him loose.
And you're right in the fact that he can lose three matches to Ricky Starks and he doesn't lose anything. I don't think he loses anything
no,
at all.
No, no, no. You'll see that he doesn't lose. He's not that type of heel, you know. So this is the beauty, right? We're on a story now with him. So I'm very excited to be with him. Yeah, I think. I mean, that's how many Aaron Stevens are out there. I mean, we hear from him every day. You know, so-and-so, you know, screwed me over here and I never got my shot here. Okay, well, the NWA is the place. We call it the land of lost toys. We're the land of lost toys. Come play with us. I think through the years I've been able to have many great conversations. And, you know, some of my favorite conversations have been sitting with JR and talking about the Jerry Blackwells and the Adrian Adonises. You know, of course, names that real mm-hmm. wrestling fans recognize, but guys that weren't super over. But when you watch, you look at the talent level. Like a guy with the size of Jerry Blackwell, does he fit in the modern wrestling world? You know, would somebody be all over Adrian Adonis today because he's too fat or too this? I'm sorry. That's one of the most talented guys I've ever seen in the ring.
Absolutely. But you know what? I think NWA, more than any other show, could break those rules.
Oh, we're going to break them all.
And another perfect example of that would be Trevor Murdoch. Because Trevor Murdoch is somebody, I think if he was on any other show, social media would be blowing up about how out of shape he is and where has he been the last 7 years. But seeing him on NWA, I looked at him and I'm watching him wrestle. I'm like, why haven't I seen this guy in the last 7 years?
We are so lucky to have Trevor. So lucky. I mean, you talk about a good hand, right? You know what I mean? There's a guy you can literally put in the ring with anybody and you're going to have a good match. I mean, that's, you talk about an MVP. There's one right there.
And those are guys that you need because you might not have plans for Trevor Murdoch. You might not be thinking, I'm going to push Trevor Murdoch to the top of the NWA. But you need guys like Trevor Murdoch who's going to help you get those guys who you want to the top of the NWA. And in many ways, those guys are as important, if not more important. The guys that got the Hulk Hogan's over, the guys that got the Austins or the Rocks over, the people who get you over are as important. And I'm glad that you see the talent in a guy like Trevor Murdoch and are using him appropriately.
And
Lagana even texted me. He goes, Bubba, you're going to pop when you see Trevor Murdoch. And I did.
Let me just correct you on one thing. The great thing about the NWA is this is a real opportunity for every talent. So if the fans really get in behind a Trevor Murdoch, we're gonna go with it. There's no political.
Well, that's good to know.
There's no political booking in our world. We will ride the best talent to the top. Our company is literally built on we need our talent to take us there.
And I think everybody's invested in the NWA right now. Now I know Bully's not going to want me to bring this up, but I will. Every week on Monday, I do my power rankings, and Bully's not a big fan.
He's already shaking his head.
He's not a big fan of my power rankings, and you know, let's face it. Most of the time with my power rankings, it's usually WWE or AEW wrestlers that are in my power rankings. Now this week, I had the wild cards were in my power rankings after that, because I really thought Eddie Kingston and Homicide were going to win that match. Mm. So the wild cards really impressed me, and you're NWA World Tag Team Champions, so they deserve to be on the power rankings. And instead of NWA fans saying, "Hey, great job by LaGreca, the wild cards are on my power rankings," how could you not have Thunder Rosa on your power rankings?
How about it?
So talk about Thunder Rosa.
Well, I don't pay a ton of attention to what's going on in the world because I'm so focused on what's going on with us. And so David Lagana contacted me and said, I want to bring this young woman in. I knew about a little bit, but, you know, you hear names fly around all the time, and hype doesn't always necessarily follow ability. I watched her for about 3 minutes in the ring, and I turned to the person next to me, and I said, oh, my God, this is a star. Where has this person been? It's kinetic. Certain talents have this ability to just kind of break through the television screen. She's one. Eli Drake is one. I'm blown away. And now she's fighting MMA, so she's totally shredded. She's in top shape. She's super committed. After we put her on our programming, we got this beautiful message from her basically saying, no one's ever let me be me.
Wow.
You're the first company that's ever let me do what I do, what I think, who I think I should be. I can't thank you guys enough for giving me this opportunity. And it's like...
Hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
Billy, guess what? I tried in Ring of Honor with Thunder Rosa. Saw the same thing you did. Unfortunately, nobody else saw it. Our loss, your gain.
Unbelievable. Star. Absolutely a star. Absolutely.
The look was there, and I agree with you. Now that she's, you know, getting in even better shape against the MMA, she is going to be a breakout female for you in the NWA.
Yeah, I think what's fantastic is if you look at our women's division right now, Allison Kay, top-notch wrestler. Thunder Rosa, unbelievable. I'm so proud. And then, as we're still bringing Camille into the wider world, obviously at this point she's still more of a valet character.
Not very good on the mic, Camille.
If I was doing my power ranking, I'd put her equal to you on the mic.
Wow, thanks. Go ahead, boy. This is yours. Your next question. I got to take a knee for a second after that.
Why do you got to take a knee?
Were you just listening to what Billy said to me?
Yeah.
You got to fire back. You got to fire back.
I'm not firing back. I'm laying out. That's what you expect me to do is fire back.
Do you listen to this show, Mr. Gordon?
I do.
Maybe
listen.
You're big in Atlanta, Georgia, in that studio you do your wrestling show from. But this is my show, sir. Okay? You're still a guest. No Dave LaGreca shirt for you, by the way.
Do I have to make you?
Over.
Do I have to make you take off your shoes to get over here? Is that what I got to do?
Oh, I would pay good money to see Corgan bully you, LaGreca.
Oh my God,
real good money. Yes, I would.
Between him and Lagana, I'll never get an invitation to go to the studios to see a taping of the NWA.
You're always welcome. I got a front row seat for you.
Yeah, if I bring.
Yeah, I'll sit you next to Santa Claus. We have a Santa Claus in the front row.
Oh, it is the holiday season. You don't have it. You're going to hang with us for a while.
I am.
Right?
I'm happy to. Am I part of the power rankings today?
Oh, and it's Tuesday. Power rankings are on.
Oh,
I'm glad you listen to the show every day, Billy.
Hey, wait. So let me stop you 1 second before you throw to your break here.
Okay.
I've been a rock star for 30 years. I have no idea what day it is today. None.
Still living the gimmick, huh?
I live the gimmick. Okay, buddy. Trust me.
I've heard some of the stories, and allow me to back it up. He's living the gimmick, brother.
God bless. God bless.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Hey, Billy, we were talking the other day about booking forwards and booking backwards. The WWE books week to week. It's pretty obvious to me when wrestling is done the right way, a la the NWA back in the day, it's booked backwards. How are you and Lagana doing it right now?
We have everything mapped out probably 6 months out. And then we kind of tweak as we go, but it's very important to have a long term destination. I think that's what creates real fans, is the sense that you're on a bigger journey than just week to week booking. Yeah.
When you look at the talent base, and it's a strong one, I'm actually very surprised at the strength of your roster right now for the NWA. Were you kind of shocked and surprised that all this talent was there available for you to have on this show?
Sort of, but I think it's also we spend a lot of time building relationships with people because part of our pitch is why it's a good decision for their overall career. In essence, even if somebody, the way we think about it is we're like an old school territory. Even if you come and stay with us for a little while, you're gonna leave better than you came in. We want to elevate your price on the open market. So we have those conversations with talent right at the beginning. We don't play these weird games like you must be NWA for life. I've done many, many record deals and I stay one album, three albums. So it's a different mentality. So mm-hmm. I try to approach it that way. And I think talents are really receptive to that because what we really want to do is, look, if one of our talents comes through and then, Vince McMahon's calling him the next day, well, doesn't that make us look better too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we will brand our talent. So when you see them in other promotions, you're still going to be thinking about the NWA because if they're not booked right, which many times, it's the way it's going to go down. It's the way those things work. Yeah. They're going to remember, well, the NWA did it right. And so we want to become known as a talent first company. And I think, we're getting that rep real quick.
As a wrestling fan, Billy, outside of the NWA, is there any one particular wrestler or storyline that has you intrigued right now?
Not particularly. I don't really watch a lot of the other products. Just because I get sort of frustrated for the talents. I mean, maybe I know too many talents, but I get frustrated at sort of the politics that I see. Maybe I over-identify as a talent myself. I end up projecting my own feelings of frustration for them. So I mostly just try to focus on us. And I also try not to get in that position where I have to kind of put down the other guy to make myself feel better. Mm-hmm. I like your attitude, Dave, that, we're all in this together at the end of the day. And if you go back to something I said about a year ago before AEW sort of emerged out of the murk of, what's going to happen with the elite guys and all that stuff, I really felt and I still feel that there's a missed opportunity because if AEW had decided to work with Ring of Honor and New Japan and NWA and AAA, I mean, imagine the kind of storyline that we'd be on right now. I can't blame Tony Khan for going down the road that he's gone on, but I still think wrestling works best when fans can look at the best matchups year to year. And if you really, really want to compete with the biggest dog in the room, well, that would be the way to do it. I think we're better as a community when the talents have the best opportunities in front of them and the fans feel that we're not living in some sort of old kayfabe world where we're supposed to pretend.
True.
That these universes exist, and it's like a Marvel world and the DC world or something. You know what I mean? I think it's a better community when things are a little bit more wide open.
I can't believe we're 35 minutes into the interview and we haven't talked about your champion Nick Aldis. And we spoke about this yesterday.
I'm sure he's texting somebody right now.
I'm sure he probably is. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Nick Aldis. I think just the way he presents the championship, him as a champion, he true world champion, and you, such a great decision not only to have him a part of the NWA, but to have him as your top guy. A lot of people didn't see that in Nick Aldis. A lot of people that I know that I spoke to thought that that was the wrong way to go, and I think you've proven everybody wrong. I think Nick Aldis has proven everyone wrong. And I mentioned this to Dave Lagana yesterday, too. I was at a memorabilia autograph show, and you couldn't get near him. I mean, 2 years ago, I'm sure that wouldn't have been an issue, but now everybody wants to shake hands, get an autograph, get a picture with Nick Aldis. And I think the biggest thing and the biggest compliment, it's not just about that 10 pounds of gold anymore. Like, I think a year ago it was more about the championship than Nick Aldis. I think now it's about Nick Aldis.
I think what you're seeing, and it took us a while to kind of wrap our heads around it, is the 10 pounds of gold is sort of like the Excalibur thing or the Lord of the Rings ring or something. It's like you have to be of a certain stature just to hold that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird because there's not many championships in the world that you could think of that would, if you're not the right human being, if you're not the right talent, that thing will, the belt will overshadow you. It's kind of weird, right? It's like one of those Norse myths or something where it's like if you're not worthy of the power of the 10 pounds, it'll kill you in verse. And Nick has really stepped up into that space. And I think his true respect for the men who held that title before him. I think that permeates and that set the tone for our company when many people didn't really understand kind of like, what are you doing? You know, the number one question we got is, you know, what are you guys doing? Are you running live shows? You know, and, you know, as some of the talents that listen to the show will understand, you know, you get that text from a talent, hey, if you're running live shows, and then you never hear from them again because they're not invested in where the NWA is going. They're only invested if there's a paycheck at the end of that. And so it took a while to figure out who was really interested in the journey we were on and why we were on that journey and why it was important, not just to get a company kind of back in gear, but why the proper way to deal with the NWA was to set the thing up so it was respect-driven. And it wasn't easy because in this fast-paced world, it's like, gimme, 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 gimme. And I'm sorry, it's like when you're talking about 70-plus years of history, it's not a gimme, gimme, gimme thing. And having the right person to carry that belt, from a Tim Storm to a Nick Aldis, you know, that's a heady thing.
And there was a graphic, and I don't know if a fan made it or the NWA made it. It's a drawing of Nick Aldis holding that championship title, and then all the names of the former champions written on it. And it's in that moment when I saw that, and you see, you know, the Ric Flairs and the Harley Race and the Briscoe. I can see him in with those names. It's not like those names now are like a big cloud over this championship run for him. I look at him and I say, you know what? He's right up there with those names. I see him with those names.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's still a young man. He's still in his early 30s. He's got a long way to go. And what's beautiful is in the NWA, he's writing his own story. You know, it's interesting, right? It's kind of a new thing. Like, can you write your own story? Yes, there's the narrative aspect of wrestling, but in the world that we live in the ecosystem that you live in daily, you know, who you are as a brand, how you present yourself to the world beyond just what happens in the ring is just as much, if not a bigger part of the business. And so he's establishing his own brand in a way that's kind of very forward thinking. And I think many people will model their professional wrestling careers after what Nick is doing now. They'll see that he's setting a kind of a new template.
Billy, I'd love to switch over to music for just a second because I know you're out there on a solo tour right now. Can you kind of bring us in a little bit? I mean, obviously, Pumpkins is a huge production. Saw you guys at MSG, phenomenal show. Now you're out there all by yourself playing your guitar in front of, you know, probably smaller houses. Other than the obvious sizing crowds dealing with the band, what are the biggest differences between being out there by yourself and doing a show with the Pumpkins?
Well, it's the complete opposite. You have no help. You know, there's nobody to point to. There's nobody to blame. There's no lights. There's nothing. I mean, you're just like, I don't even hire a lighting director. It's like there's a blue light and I just stand up there and play my song. So it's really about the pure essence of songwriting. So it's more like you're trying to create that atmosphere that, like, if you came over to my house, Bully, it would be like we're sitting in the living room. I'm just playing you some songs. People will pay for that intimacy, but you really have to give them the intimacy. They don't want the veneer of showbiz. They want to see the person behind. If anybody saw the great Springsteen on Broadway thing that was on Netflix, they want that sort of like, I really want to know the person behind it. And the thing is, let's say one out of 20 fans really wants to take that journey. Well, you have to really respect that they do want to take that journey. So you got to slow it down a little bit. And it's hard because there's a lot of times where it's like it's absolute silence. You know what I mean? And as you know, Bully, silence is not always a good thing in entertainment. That means something bad is happening, you know?
But they're so, I guess they're so into the performance that you have.
Well, it's hard to tell sometimes whether they're bored, you know, because, you know, today, last night I played, I think, 26 songs. So I'm playing, you know, over 2 hours of music in the course of 2.5 hours. I take a little break in the middle. That's a lot of music for somebody to sit, and there's no other dynamic than me hitting an acoustic guitar or piano.
Wow.
You mentioned about, you know, playing music in your home or in your living room. Was that an invite? Because it sounded like an invite for me and not LaGreca.
You're always welcome at my house, Bully.
Again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He said you're always
Mr. Hall of Fame.
Welcome at my Just wanted to okay.
Well, one of the people I'm talking to on this conversation is a legit Hall of Famer and one is not yet. And I get lost sometimes who is who, but yeah. I'm all about having Hall of Famers over.
You know, there's a history with you and the NWA and a history with you and the Smashing Pumpkins. You know, there is a history with me and this show. I created this show, okay? I booked Bully for the show, but this is my show. You do
you
understand
what?
That. You heard
you
me.
What?
You heard me.
Your ass. Your ass, you booked me. Your ass. You don't have the balls to tell the truth, you fraud.
Did you just call me a fraud on my show?
Which word are you stuck on? Fraud. One word, one syllable.
Billy? Wait, God, you are a rebel. Now, stirring the pot.
This might get me some
heat. He's worse than CM Punk.
Yeah, you're worse than CM Punk.
This might get me some heat with Bully, so I say this carefully, but everybody knows that Bully books himself.
You're damn right. See?
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I will say this, and Bully will attest to this. Before the first NWA Power show, I was like a kid on Christmas Eve. Like, I don't remember the last time that I could not wait for a first of anything when it came to pro wrestling like I did for NWA Power. Now here we are. We're going to have the seventh show tonight at 6:05. And it, to me, it's a necessity watch. And in the age of a DVR, in the age of on-demand, did you think that that was a possibility? Did you think that there would be as many people at 6:05 sitting in front of their TV or their device watching this show?
No, I mean, we figured it, you know, it was kind of a weird time to put a show on, but we liked the historical connection. And then we figured people would just watch when they wanted to, and that's been true. A lot of people watch on their phones. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that the program averages 45, 50 minutes in length, I think people, you know, whether it's a bus ride, a train ride, you know, when they have that hour off from studying or whatever, I think they're finding time to watch it. And so it's encouraging because it shows that there's room for a different type of wrestling product in this massive ecosystem that we're in now.
One other thing I do want to bring up before we say goodbye, and thank, and honestly, Billy, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Always happy to come in.
Because the show is absolutely...
Although I'll never get invited again, but...
Well, as you heard, it's Bully's show, so I guess you're invited anytime you want. Camille.
Anytime.
Camille has been very, she's not vocal on the show, but she's been very vocal on social media about the NWA. Mm. A lot of people saying how, boy, you could be, you know, a big star in AEW or WWE, and she's happy with what she's doing in the NWA. And she said, you know what? You don't understand. You don't know. And I'm sure she's talking about the freedom that she gets on the show, because you mentioned it before. How much freedom do you actually give to performers on NWA?
You're probably 90% plus.
Wow.
Freedom. We work hard with the talent to make sure that the lane that we envision for them is something that they're comfortable with and something they can really invest in. Because we want people to stay because they're happy, and if they're going to go, it's because they got a better opportunity, and we're going to encourage them in that, and we'll support them in that. And I think we'll be a different wrestling coming that way. We really want the best for all our talent. And if they belong in the biggest stages, which we can't provide, we will absolutely support that.
And that's what makes wrestlers happy, Dave, when they have a voice and can work with. I can tell you right now, and I'm not blowing smoke up his ass because he's there, I worked really, really well with Lagana. Really well, because Lagana wasn't afraid to tell me what he thought about things. We bounced ideas off of one another, and some of my favorite stuff that I did was working with Lagana in TNA. And I'm sure that a lot of the talent right now in the NWA is enjoying that good open lanes of communication with him to put on, you know, matches, promos, the product in general. When creative and the wrestler can come together, you're getting what you see in the NWA, which is A, happy wrestler, and B, a good product. C, nothing canned. Because as we know, we hate canned pro wrestling. Nothing is more boring than canned pro wrestling. You give me the NWA, you give me AEW, and you give me Impact right now, I'm happy because I know I'm not seeing canned pro wrestling.
Well said.
And, you know, I'm sure you hired Eli Drake for a reason. You're not going to mold him into what you want to see. You hired him because of what he can bring to the show.
I mean, you just got to wind that guy up. What a talent.
Amazing.
What a talent. What a talent.
And again, the reason why you came in, the big news that broke just before you came in, unlike Cody Rhodes, Bully, Billy Corgan actually breaks news before he comes on the air and not after our show is over, is that we're going to get the Circled Square. Again, it's an open opportunity for a lot of independent talents to be a part of the NWA.
Thank you. And don't forget, we're on pay-per-view December 14th. into the Power pay-per-view, our first pay-per-view off the Power show. We'll be on the same set, but it'll be a very different show because it'll be a pay-per-view.
And again, just like your two shows at the Gramercy Theater, it's sold out.
Sold out. We sold out all our tapings, which we're really excited about. And my solo album comes out November 22nd. So much going on going into this busy Christmas season. And if I don't talk to you before that, have a great holiday, everyone.
November 22nd. I got to write this down. November 22nd.
You're not getting a free record. And you're not getting free tickets to the Gramercy.
You know what? You're making...
Sold out means there's no tickets left.
Listen, you're making the joke, but...
Go on StubHub and go buy something.
Honest to God, when I mentioned that the show was sold out, Dave Lagana looked at Billy with this look. I'm like, oh my God. Like, if you could have seen the look on Dave Lagana's face, like, here it comes. LaGreca's about to ask for free tickets. Can't believe it.
I don't know what...
The disrespect... that I get on my own show. Alex Metz, our producer, gets water for Billy Corgan, nothing for me. I got an empty cup here. Nobody cares.
Bully, I don't know what my tickets are worth on the open market. I'm going to guess about $300, $400 because it's sold out, you know, StubHub, something like that. And yep. And in exchange for the tickets that I'm going to give Dave, I get a T-shirt with his name on it. With his name on it.
But it's all about branding, Billy. You know that.
I'm surprised that Greca hasn't told you, well, you know, my good friend Snake Sabo wore my shirt on stage at Download.
He did.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know about that. Look at the look on his face right now.
He already dropped it.
You actually told Billy Corgan, you put yourself over and bragged that Snake Sabo wore your shirt?
I'm just saying that
people... Oh, my God.
I'm just saying...
Oh, my God.
Wait a second. Dave...
Chase the
It's not
hug.
Called chasing the hug.
Yes,
oh
it is.
Oh, my God. Will you let me talk? Dave Lagana said, oh, probably LaGreca probably expects you to wear that on stage. And I said, it's happened. Nita Strauss has worn it on stage. Snake Sabo has worn it on stage. That's why I brought it up, Bully. Ah, you are...
Right now, Billy wants to say it so bad. I'm Billy Corgan. I would never wear your shirt on stage.
No.
There's a place in my house where I put these kind of shirts, and I can already see me throwing it there.
And on that note.
But Billy, honestly, thank you.
Thank you, my friends.
Thank you so much
Always
for coming
fun.
On.
Thanks,
6:05,
guys.
6:05 Eastern, the perfect time for NWA action. You get it tonight on a Tuesday. I know I'll be, despite how this interview went, I'll be sitting in front of my TV watching NWA Power. And again, I'm very excited for what's going to be happening with the Circled Square. And again, independent talents being able to get an opportunity to be a part of the NWA.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.